today's show, show number 23, coming to you live from a hot tub in a cabin on the Fall River, just north of Estes Park, Colorado, just outside Rocky Mountain Park. Yes, that was Thursday. And right after I said those last words, the microphone dropped into the hot tub. I was not electrocuted because we were on batteries. It is the portable studio, but you know, it was all going to be perfect. It was all just set up to be, I was going to record a show from the hot tub, but no. How often do things work out like they're supposed to? Well, that did not work, but we're back. It's show 23. All praise to Tommy Mac. Let me say first off, you know, I have two complete studios, and both are completely broke. That's maddening. That makes me want to shoot myself. But Tommy Mac, being the genius that he is, he figured out a way to take parts of one studio and connect them. How it worked, I'll never know, to the other part of the to studio part two. Hello. And we ended up with one possibly working studio. The bad news is, we had some things in the can before this, but one of the drawbacks to this is we can only do short things, 2-3 minutes at a time, under this new system, and it's too hard to explain why. But, got a good show. You know how we're going to start it out? Hold on. Get me a little Chinaco. Oh, it's so fine. I can taste the mango. I can taste the baked apple. I can taste the papaya. That's what that taste is. And, of course, the wildflowers. Oh, that makes it all good. Got a snippy show for you today. What are we going to do? We're going to talk a little bit about the 9/11 victims. We are going to beat up on the Bush boy. There's one thing I don't like about Bush, and I'll explain that here in just a minute. But he does care about the soldiers. We're going to talk about him and the soldiers. We got a great report from my good friend Barry Crimmins. He called in a monologue on about the BART phone only holds 2 minutes at a time, and he had about a 15-minute rant. So every time it went beep, it, you know, understandably pissed him off, so we had to chop it all together, but it came out great. He's a good man. I like him. Next up, we got going to have to talk about some drugs. Talk about drugs. We're going to talk about some hashish and how it applies to terrorism. Going to be doing a little thing on Miranda if there's time. I recorded, a pretty good deal on why we're going to lose Miranda, but it's got the crackles and the pops in it, so if it passes the Tommy test, you might hear that, but you might not. Also got a little bit of Rolling Stone for you, a little bit of something to argue about there. Got another celebrity bumper. You'll have to wait for that. And some other surprises that are just no telling what Tommy Mac has cooked up. The way we do this, I play Monkey Boy in front of the microphone for a while. I send it to him, and then he turns it into a silk purse. Mixed metaphors, I know, rarely work. Let's get right to today's show.
This is www.bartcop.com.
You know, last night I was doing a shot of Chinaco, thinking about things, and I got to thinking there's one thing about George W. Bush that just really pisses me off. And that's that little smug smirk he gets on his face when he thinks he said something clever. You know, like on the Late Show, Dave's been doing these things, Bush telling a joke that's not quite a joke. Like Bush will come out and say, yeah, we had a big round table meeting today, but the table was square. And then he smirks like he just said something real damn clever. He's just so proud of himself. And that really drives me nuts. You know, that's the one thing. Well, wait, there's actually two things that piss me off about Bush. Second one was that whole fixed election in Florida in the year 2000. Remember they were going on about how Bush was going to win it in a landslide. And then towards the last couple of days, they said, I don't know, it's starting to look close. And then election night, after all the networks called it for Gore, Bush summoned all the reporters up to a super rich suite at that luxury hotel and said, no, we are going to win this. no doubt. Don't write anything about President Gore. I'm going to win this for sure. And that got me thinking, the fix is in. He knew the fix was in, the little monkey. So he called the reporters there to gloat. I'm going to win. I'm going to win. And damn if he didn't. But yeah, both of those things pissed me off. But the other thing about there's three things that pissed me off about Bush. And the third thing is how he's never worked a day in his whole life. He's never had to be responsible for anything. He's never even worked at a McDonald's. He's never had to show up on time for anything anywhere. He's never been held accountable. So there's no reason for him to be accountable. Even today when he screws something up, the guy standing next to him says, oh, I'm sorry, I was the one that dropped the cake. And they're going, well, no, Bush had the cake. And no, this guy did. Oh, okay, so it's not Bush's fault. He's never had to take responsibility for anything. And thus, he's a very irresponsible person. And I think there's about 465 American families that can attest to his irresponsibility. But they won't. They're willing to fall on the sword, too. They're all for this war. I'll tell you, they hate Clinton because every soldier he sent into battle came home. But the Bush brothers, or the Bush team, they've killed, what, about 1,000 so far? But they know what they're doing, so it's okay. That's three things that pissed me off about that monkey. Well, unless you count the fourth thing, that'd be the ruined economy. Remember when he was running in 2000, he said, we should give tax cuts back to the people because the government has so much money and there's such a big surplus that we ought to give some back to the people. And when he says the people, that means 100 for me and you, that he's going to raise us 100 at tax time, but that's 100 for me and you, and it's $5 billion for GE and $7 billion for Microsoft. You know, Bill Gates can't get by on the money he's got. George had to give him another $7 billion. And did Microsoft hire anybody in the last 3 years? So that's four things. Well, five, if you count the part about Bush lying all the time. Christ, has he ever told the truth? Of course, half the time you can't tell if he's lying or if he's just that stupid. It just hit me in the 2000 campaign when he said the Democrats were treating Social Security like it was some kind of federal program. Now, that's not a lie. He's just a bonehead that can't figure shit out. He just has no clue, but when he gets in trouble, he just lies. Remember what he told Diane Sawyer the other day? She said, but Mr. President, you said they have weapons, not weapons programs. You said they... He said, Saddam has weapons of mass destruction. And Bush smirks and says, what's the difference? He could just hear it. He was smart enough to leave off the bitch at the end of that. But that's, if he's never held accountable, he never has to tell the truth. There's no point in telling the truth if nobody's ever going to say you're lying. Those five things are actually there's six things. This stupid bloody war that he got us into for no reason. Saddam was never a problem. Saddam's a weak old man. Yes, he was a bad guy in Iraq, but is he worse than the Egyptians, than the Libyans, than the North Koreans, than the Iranians, than the Pakis, than the, the Lebanese, the Syrians? I mean, line them all up. They all will kill to keep their power. Of course, Bush will too, but we don't talk about that. But the idea that here we're stuck in this war, mired for God knows how many years or decades, and there was never any reason to go to war. Those are six solid reasons why I disliked it. Well, no, wait, I think there's seven if you count the funerals. You know, he's never been to a funeral. Politically, he can't be seen near a casket because the cameras might accidentally show the grieving widow and at the same time catch Smirk with one of his little smuggy, smirking, giggling. He'd be over there tickling pickles or something and, you know, like, hey, George, grow the fuck up, would you? You're at a funeral. What the hell's wrong with you? But no, he won't go to any funerals. But he'll light a candle. He'll light a candle and say a prayer, and then get back to making money for Halliburton. But he won't be seen at any funerals. That's another reason it pisses me off. But besides those seven, I was just thinking, maybe an eighth reason to really dislike him is the fawning press he gets. No matter what he does, they say, oh God, is he good. And he's never done anything right. He screwed up everything. He screwed up the economy, he screwed up the war, he screwed up our standing in the world, he screwed up everything, and the press just goes on and on, oh, he's the greatest, he's the bestest. Remember during there are so many horrors, it's hard to list one, but sometimes doing these little live deals, stuff pops into my head. In the 2000 campaign, Bob Schieffer, after one of those debates, talking about What a mastery Bush had of foreign policy. Oh, please. Bob Schieffer, thy name is whore. Bush couldn't find Pakistan on a map if you gave him an hour and $1,000. Mastery of foreign policy, my ass. Bush can't spell foreign policy. I bet he can't spell those two words. He might get one of them right, he might not. He might get them both wrong. But he's not a master of anything. But oh, the press loves him. Oh, the rancher with his boots on. Oh, please, rancher. He's a rancher like I'm Pope. But no, they buy into it. Anything Karl Rove tells them. Again, with the 2000 campaign. Every time Al Gore opened his mouth, Karl Rove would fax something to Tim the Whore over at Meet the Press. And Tim the Whore would dutifully write it down like a good little puppy and then attack whoever, whatever Democrat. Why did Gore say he went to that FEMA deal when he didn't go? Well, he went only, you know, he only went to 30 of them. And he went to that one he talked about, but not with the guy. I mean, geez, you do something 30 times, you might confuse it with time 28 or 29. He's sorry. Meanwhile, Bush is off on every wild-ass piece of crap story in the world, and they forgive him because he's a master of foreign policy. Yeah, the fawning press, a good eighth reason to dislike him. But that's pretty much it. The ninth reason might be all these Nazi judges we got coming online now. If Bush wins this next election, which he's going to win, I'm sorry, don't hate me, don't cancel your subscription because I'm telling you the truth, but Dean, I don't think, can beat Bush. Again, Bush is going to be standing there with the Air Force and the soldiers, and they're going to have a picture of Dean with the two gay guys in wedding dresses. They're going to scare the hell out of America. This is going to be Willie Horton number two. It's as plain as it can be. We can either accept the Willie Horton and go down in defeat, or we can put Clark against Bush. Clark will kick his ass. You heard him the other day? I'll kick the shit out of him if they try that. Clark's a fighter. After he got shot four times, he went back into battle. Not like the same day or anything, but after he got shot, well, that might not be technically right, but he got shot on more than one occasion. So the idea if he got shot the second time, he must have got shot once and then went back for more. That's a little different, and I don't dislike Dean. I think Dean's fine. Dean would have made a great candidate in 2000 before this terror thing was everything. But Bush, this whole heightened alert for Christmas, yeah, all our Christmases are going to be a heightened alert because Bush is going to stay in power. I don't think he's going to, even if he runs against Clark next year and Clark wins, are they going to turn over power to Clark? Are they going to turn over power to anybody? I can't see it. I asked my good friends Gene Lyons and Joe Connison about this, and they both wrote back they didn't think things were quite that extreme, which is a responsible thing because a nut like me might quote them and get it wrong, and they don't want that to happen, so they temper their remarks. But I just can't see this power of life and death and the unlimited black budgets and all that. They're not going to let any Democrat have that power. They will do anything to keep that power. They will do anything, repeat, anything to keep that power. They're not going to give it up. Once you've had a taste of $100 million days, you're not going to give that up. Greedy men can't give that up. That's why Cheney quit a $20 million a year job to go make $200,000 on an 80-hour work week with five heart attacks. The only reason a man does that is pure greed, because he's an oil man, and the oil men are greedy. So that was number nine. The Nazi judges that are coming online, they're going to seal Bush's fate. They're going to rule with him. Oh, and that reminds me of number 10. I mean, this has to come to an end sometime, so we might as well make 10 the last one. The crooked Supreme Court. All through Clinton's presidency, they ruled against Clinton just to rule against Clinton. The idea that every other president except Clinton had, oh, what's it called? Administrative immunity, hell, I can't think right now. But no, they'd say Clinton didn't have that. Clinton wasn't allowed to talk to his, wasn't allowed the privacy to talk to his lawyer. And the idea that some idiot in Little Rock had a claim, the Supreme Court greenlit that all the way so Clinton could be impeached. That wasn't an accident. They didn't accidentally do that. That was the plan. Meanwhile, here comes Bush and Cheney, both from Texas. But that's okay. Cheney's got a cabin in Wyoming, so we'll screw the 23rd Amendment, whichever one it was. We'll just say that they're from different states, and that makes them a legitimate running team. The Democrats didn't care. No, the Democrats didn't care. Why should they? The Supreme Court doesn't care if they're breaking the Constitution to run as a team. No, that's okay. The Supreme Court is going to green light everything. What do you think they're going to do when Cheney's task force comes before them? How gracious of them to agree to hear that case. They agreed to hear it so they could bury it forever. This is a global cover-up. But I guess all we can do is take it. Until the Democrats decide enough is enough, the BFEE is going to have their way, and that's all there is to it. And if you don't like it, you can come up with your own Army, Air Force, Marines, and Navy, and you can overthrow the United States with your 10,000 nuclear bombs. That'll happen.
Don't touch that dial. Though you don't have a dial because you're probably listening to this on the computer.
I ain't happy. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long. The future.